Gaza today, seemingly uninhabitable after 1,000 days of joint U.S.-Israeli genocide, young women and men are writing poetry. Coastal Lines Press is a collective of 38 writers. Their goal, to turn their words into life-saving supplies for their families. In the last couple of GPM editions, we've spoken with three Coastal Lines poets, Noor Abu Maryam, Noorhan Shaheen, and Lara Al-Harazin. After our conversation with Lara, she reached out, telling us that her younger brother and sister would like to speak with us. We reached Mohammed and Farah Al-Harazin in a tent cafe at Al-Mawasi on the beach in south central Gaza. Hello, Farah and Mohammed. Welcome to the Green Planet Monitor. What a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you introduce yourself first, Mohammed, and then Farah?
Yes. So I'm Mohammed Al-Harazin, and I'm 21 years old. I'm a university student. I live in Gaza, Al-Mawasi right now. What else can I say about myself? Well, I have a scholarship in Turkey, but unfortunately I cannot go abroad because of the coursing and due to the war. Right now I'm studying my second year in university, but online courses, because there's no university still standing. So we attend courses, but online. And now Farah will introduce herself.
Hi, my name is Farah Harzin. I'm 13 years old. I live in Gaza in a camp. And I study right now in a school. And what else?
We don't see it.
And I have celiac disease, which means I can't eat food that maybe could continue with the bloating. And the life have been so many difference between before the war began and right now.
Your English is very good.
And I'm very good with the school, with the English.
What? Huh. Tell me, where are you at this moment? Like at this instant, where are you?
Yes, well, right now we are in a cave, a cafe, which provides internet and electricity. Because back in the tent, unfortunately, we don't have a solar system. So in order to access internet and to charge our phones and our laptop and to access internet, where we come here to this place, which provides this stuff.
And it's like a cafe.
Yes, it's a cafe right on the beach. The beach is just right there.
With four walls and a roof?
No, it's not a roof. We are just sitting on the sand, like a table and the sand, with something like this on the roof. So okay. It's not like build, it's just like wood and other elements.
Tell me about the tent where you live how big is this tent and how many people live in it?
Well, fortunately, our tent is not that big because at the time we left Gaza in order to search a safe place here, there was already people took all the places. So we found a part of a street, and we covered it with some covers, and we built our tent inside. It's you can say 20 meters and times 11 meters. So it's a size of one single bedroom in a big house. At the first, when we first came here to Al-Mawasi, we used to really struggle with providing water for daily use. Sometimes we have no choice but to use salty water. And it's something really bad to even wash your hair or to use it to wash your face. But after the Egyptian line was connected, the situation got really better. Now we have water tent. But before they connected the line, the situation was really horrible. Need to travel to far places just to get some water to use to wash your dishes, to wash yourself, and that's it. It is not that big, and me myself, I don't really stay in the tent at the morning or in the daytime because I can't really stand the heat, the sun. So Basically, we come here to this cafe. We stay like 10, 8 to 10 hours a day. We bring sandwiches, salad, and that's it. And after we finish, like we go, like in the evening, we come back to our tent.
Hi, Farah. Farah, tell me, what's it like living in that tent? What's it like living in Almawasi?
Okay, like if you're gonna talk about the life, it's very hot because of the sun. After the war, before the war, there was no hot in the home because there was a wall and the land. But right now, there's nothing could protect us from the sun, so we feel hot. Before the war, there was a cooler and so many machine could protect us. That machine could give us air, but right now, there's nothing could give us air. So we come in the cafe and get some air from the beach.
And in the tent, what do you sleep on?
I'm going to
What
tell.
was that? Well, we did not hear that twice.
No, Farah, tell me what you sleep on when you're sleeping.
Okay, the tent floor and the pillow. Not like that bad.
And the tent floor is made out of plastic.
Yes.
Yes.
And you don't have a bed, you don't have a mattress.
No, there is no bed.
There's
In the
no muff
tent,
space to put the bed.
there's no muff space. There's no only space in the tent to put a bed.
And how many of you are in the tent?
Here right now, we are three. Me and my brother and my mom.
And are there insects? Are there bugs? Are there scorpions? Are there rats?
Especially. Yes, there is. And there is a lot, especially at night.
Even at night, just
That's why we keep our cat sleeps right next, so if there's like a rat or something, she
so
gets her.
they can protect us from anything could come in the night.
Your cat protects you.
Yes.
And but do you get bitten by mosquitoes and bugs, and have you been bitten by rats?
No, never, never before.
And what are your toilet facilities like? Where do you go to the washroom?
Yeah, it comes to bathrooms like here in the camp, they have communal bathrooms, but we have our own private one, which is really good for us. But the bigger problem is that they don't have a sewage. It's just a bit dig into the ground with no proper drainage system. So, sorry for saying that. Whenever your pit is full, you need to dig another one. You understand? Yeah, it's
And
not like a toilet, you said, just like a plastic floor where it has like a hole in the middle. Yeah. So you just stand there, so just sit,
you should have
not on your knees, and you do your things.
yes. And do you know what the bad things when you get your shower? I mean, your legs, and every time you go to the bathroom, it's the most of bad things. And it's so hot in the morning that the normal human cannot just control.
And your tent is totally surrounded by other tents with lots of people, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's like street. We are in the street.
It's a camp.
Do you have friends, Farah? Are some of the people around you, are there?
Yes, I play afternoon 3 hours with the most of kindness friends. I even dreamed that they are so good. They understanding.
I didn't understand
Do
that.
you
Can you
play?
repeat that, Farah? Can you repeat what you just said?
Okay, my friends are the most of kindness friends I ever will treat, and there we play afternoon 3 hours, and they are the most of 3 hours in the day.
Like the
We,
best 3 hours at night.
yes, and we play, and we put a plane with together. Maybe they understand everything and these things. They are the most of good friend.
And are you studying? Do you have the chance to take classes, Farah?
I am right now on a holiday, but before the holiday, yes, I was perfect in the school, even with the English.
3 times a week. Three times a week you go to school.
3 days in the week I go to school. 3 days I go, 3 days I don't.
Where do you go to school, Farah?
وين بتروح على المدرسة؟
Yes, it's a far away, like a tent. No, not a real school and a tent.
And who are your teachers?
مين مدرسينك؟
My teacher, maybe Muhammad and Dua. And Dua is the most of, I like her because she's the English teacher. I like her very much. She's so kind. I'm her favorite student, if you know that, because I'm really good in English. And Basma, the math teachers.
Basma teaches you math.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're learning English and math. What else?
Oh, because of the war. Okay. English and math and Arabic and science. Because of the war, there is no any teacher to learning us another subject. Because of the war, just we take four subject. Yes, because of the war.
And Muhammad, you were, what were you studying? What were you studying in university?
Well, in university, we attend like online course. It's not like a real building. It's called the Islamic University of Gaza. Yeah, we have like a model, like a website where we attend our homeworks, our online courses, and that's it.
And what are you interested in studying? Like, what is your focus?
Well, I'm focused on studying IT, programming languages like Python, Java, and these things.
Now you're in Almawasi, you're living in Almawasi. What's the Israeli army presence? Are there drones overhead? We hear about missile strikes every now and then. The Israelis fire a missile at a tent and kill people.
And that is right. Just 2 days ago, I woke up on the sound of bullets whistle just right over our heads. It's not the Israel armies, it's the military militias they have. So sometimes they just shoot right directly on the civilian tents. And sometimes they strike a car or two here on Al Rashid Street, like near where we live.
These are militias that are allied with Israel.
Yes, they are allied with Israel. Yes.
And they fire guns at the tents.
Yeah, I have a bad internet. Could you repeat that?
These militias, they fire guns at the tents.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And are there armed drones overhead? Are there drones,
Yes,
militarized drones
they
caught?
never. Of course, they never move until they are protected from the sky. If they are not protected from the sky, they just don't move. So when they move, there's like quadcopters and the drones over the whole area. So at this moment, we just stay in the tent. So we keep our face down, like in case anything like comes, like a bullet or something like that.
What do you eat?
So
What do you
a lot
eat?
of people get injured from this accident, to be honest, like every day.
Every day at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Every day, 6 o'clock in the morning, what, Farah? What happens at 6 in the morning?
Well, it's like a routine for them. Every day at 6 o'clock in the morning, they just start shooting, and it's like if they are in a mission. Like every day at 6 o'clock, you hear like guns and bullets whistle. And after like half an hour, they just go back. So, like every day.
It's a difficult question to ask. How many of your friends have you lost? Have you lost lots of friends? Have been martyred? Have friends of yours been martyred?
Well, yes, I have one real close friend, which, like, I remember him like every day. His name is Muhammad, and he was killed with 50 of his family members. Like
How many?
his father, 50.
50.
50. 50, yes. Like the whole entire family, from grandma to grandchildren, got wiped out. in a single airstrike. That was like in the beginning of the war, and the bodies were still under the ground for like half a year until the people came and take them out and put them in proper graves. Muhammad was my best friend before the war began. He introduced me to music. Like whenever I hear The Weeknd or any song by The Weeknd, I just remember him. He was a really nice guy. He was a good guy.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, he died on 4th of December 2023, which is the same day we and my family left our home before the Israel soldiers came and occupied the whole region where we live, like our neighbor.
And Farah, it's a difficult question to ask. Have you lost your friend? Have you lost friends?
No, I don't. And I thank God for that.
So tell me about what you're eating. What's the food situation?
Well, we buy our stuff from the market. The prices compared to like before the war, it's like multiple times. But sometimes we can afford that. When it comes to Farah, gluten-free products are much more expensive compared to our products in the market. So, and that is something because of the closure of borders. Like, there is no much products come inside the city, so the prices are still a little bit high. That's it. Farah got something to say about gluten-free products in the market?
Yes, and here in the war, just when the closure of the borders come, there was not any chips and snacks. Like, to 1 year, I didn't eat any snacks or chips. Can you imagine that? And just the only safe food here in Gaza, the vegetables and fruit. And there was so many expensive, like 1 year without snacks and chips and juice, these things. Just fruit and vegetables and rice. The only things I was eating just 1 year.
And no meat.
No, there was no any meat because of the closure of the borders.
There was like a starvation.
And right now, what's right at this instant, what's the food situation? Do you have access to meat? Do you have access to fresh vegetables?
Yes, we have. We have access to fresh meat. We have access
And
to
chicken.
vegetables, but the prices are still high, but they are available at the moment, which is something really good, like compared to what I've been in the past 3 years during the war.
And how do you manage to
It's better for sure.
go ahead, Farah? What did you say?
Yes, I would say that there was no any safe food when the war began. No any safe food because of here right now in Gaza, the people that who got celiac disease, not so many, like 100, 200, these things. So they will never gonna imagine to get to us a chips and snack, or maybe they will never gonna know about us.
But with celiac disease, you don't want to be eating chips and snacks with celiac disease, do you?
Just only gluten-free snacks and chips.
And I mean, what's the health situation? What's the, are you how is your health? How is your health? How's your skin? Are you coughing? Do you
Well, alhamdulillah, it's pretty good compared to other people. Like, I see a lot of my friends, like, they have insects bites them in their hands, and it gets really bad during the time. They don't get proper help, so the situation gets horrible according to their position. But our family, we don't suffer from these things.
I think the correct word is hamdallah. Should I say hamdallah?
Yes,
Hamdallah.
I said alhamdulillah, which is something like we thank God for.
Hamdallah.
Yes.
Yes, hamdallah. This is a word to learn along with inshallah, inshallah and hamdallah.
Yes. These two are famous for Islamic view.
Farah, what would you like to tell young Canadians who are listening, like who are 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, like kids like you? What do you want to tell them about Gaza?
What would she like to tell them about what?
About Gaza, about Gaza. What's your message to young people about Gaza?
I think Gaza is very hard and different before the war. It's very different, like no any home, no any building, these things. And if you want an internet, you should come in a cafe and these things, because no internet in the tent. And Gaza is, the people could maybe put their tent in the beach because there's no any place. And the water of the sea could come inside their tent and every day, and they should put sand and these things just to protect them. Here, straight ahead from me, there is three tents that people live on it just because there's no any place here. No any place.
Farah, your sister, Lama, is writing she's writing poetry. She's publishing her poetry in a zine. Are you writing poetry?
Yes, I read, and I got one. I got one. I'm proud.
Proud of her.
I'm really proud for her.
And yourself, are you writing yourself?
Yes, I write for myself. I start.
You have a notebook and a pen and you write?
Yeah.
Wow. And Muhammad, what are the prospects for the future? It seems like I don't want to say that Gaza is hopeless because you've got to have hope, but what's the future hold for you guys?
Well, when it comes to me, I really hope I found my way outside this city. Like I would really love to continue my studies abroad on the scholarship I got in Turkey. And the problem is that the coursing is closed due to the Israel soldiers. Like they won't open it till now. So until then, I just hope that I could find my way outside. I'd really love to visit the whole world. A lot of places I need to see. So, continuing my life here in Gaza, it's not a choice. I'm just trying to find, a way outside.
And Farah, what makes you hopeful? You know, like, hope, we look forward to the future. We hope.
I'll just get outside Gaza, and everything gonna be all right. The things that makes me could feel a much hope, there is nothing could stay, okay? Like, we can get out, but not right now. We should wait. I believe with that we should wait to get out because nothing could stay like that. Because stay here in Gaza and grow up here, it's not a good choice.
Do you have friends in other countries, Farah? Do you have pen pals, we call them? A pen pal is somebody you write to.
No, I don't have. I'm just here in Gaza. In the same camp, I got a friend.
You need a pen pal.
Yes, I guess I mean. Yes, I need.
Well, I'm really grateful to have reached you in your little tent cafe, your little plastic walled cafe. You're actually sitting on the sand right now, are you?
We did not hear that.
I'm just saying I'm happy I reached you in your cafe. You're sitting on the sand right now. You're right on the beach.
Yes, well, if you looked at it from other point, it's something really good. So it's a natural place. You know, just right next to the beach. This is what we got, so we must get used to what we have.
What would you like to say in closing, if your last words to people who are listening? People who are listening to this, what do you want to tell them?
Well, I think the situation here in Gaza is not that good at all. And I would really love to tell them to do whatever They can, like, to improve our situation or to get our voices, like, so other people can hear us. Because the life we live here, like, we struggle every day. So maybe, like, help us so our voice can reach other people and our misery could come to an end.
Farah, what would you like to tell people who are listening all around the world? Because people are listening in different countries around the world to the Green Planet Monitor. What would you like to tell them?
I think to let our voice go to another country and let the people know how we live. And I guess I can tell them to do whatever they can just to do to get our voice far away from here to another country, another city, these things.
Farah and Mohammed, thank you so much for joining me on the Green Planet Monitor. You take care, and we'll speak again.
Yes, if you want, if you guys want, like, we are here. We can do it again another time. We would love to.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah.
Mohammed and Farah al-Harazin are the brother and sister of Lama al-Harazin, one of 38 members of the Zines from Gaza Poetry Collective. We'll post a video of our conversation with Mohammed and Farah at greenplanetmonitor.net. That's it for today's GPM, a joint production of Earth Chronicle Productions and 93.3 CFMU FM, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Thanks to our news editor, Kylie Wong. If you appreciate what you're hearing, help us out. Listen to, read, and watch more Earth stories and subscribe at greenplanetmonitor.net. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Blueberry, and on Canada's Harbinger Media Network. I'm David Kattenberg, over and out for now.
Keen eyesight is absolutely critical for finding food, spotting predators, and generally staying alive. But many birds lead lives that could be very hard on the eyes, like flying at breakneck speed, racing for cover into a dense thicket, or diving underwater to catch a spiny, struggling fish. Fortunately, birds have evolved a structure for protecting their eyes. Like humans, they have upper and lower outer eyelids. But beneath the outer eyelids lies an extra eyelid called the nictitating membrane. Nictitating, for all its alliterative syllables, simply means blinking. This extra eyelid is hinged on the inner side of the eye and sweeps horizontally across the cornea. The nictitating membrane is largely transparent, and it helps keep the eye moist and clean while guarding it from wind, dust, and hazards. Birds aren't the only animals gifted with nature's goggles. Reptiles and some mammals have the extra eyelid, too. A polar bear's nictitating membrane helps protect its eyes against the intense glare of Arctic light, preventing snow blindness. Nature's goggles become nature's sunglasses. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann. BirdNote's newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.